DW Radio presents Inspired Minds with Brendan O'Shea.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of Inspired Minds, a series of programmes where we meet musicians, authors and leading figures from all the artistic genres. Our guest today, composer and conductor Pierre Boulez.
Well, inspiration comes from everything, from the most abstract to the most down-to-earth.
Pierre Boulez is one of the most important musical and intellectual figures of the 20th century. As a composer, he wrote a new chapter in the history of music in the 50s. As a conductor, he gave contemporary music a new status and renovated many masterpieces of symphony and opera, the likes of Wagner, Bruckner, Mahler, Bartok and others. He's taught musical analysis, composition and conductor, and was for several years a professor at the Collège de France in Paris. Pierre Boulez is also the author of many books and essays and a highly valued lecturer. He was born in Montbrison in France in 1925. As a youth, he took piano lessons and at the age of 16, the young Boulez took courses in higher mathematics. However, in 1942, when he settled in Paris, he decided to dedicate himself entirely to music. In 1944, he was admitted to Olivier Messiaen's harmony class at the Paris Conservatory. 2 years later, he was appointed musical director of the Renan Barolt Company and began to compose music seriously. In 1950, Boulez extended his activities to conducting, and by the mid-1960s, he was appearing widely as a conductor and became chief conductor of the BBC Symphony Orchestra and the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. He has also worked extensively with many other of the world's great orchestras, including the London and Cleveland Symphony Orchestras and the Vienna Philharmonic. But Boulez is critical of musicians. In fact, he once said, "I have no confidence in the imagination of performers. The performer's head is full of formulas drawn from the music he plays. If he had the necessary invention, he would be a composer himself." Well, that being the case, when I met Boulez recently, I asked him just what was the role of musicians with whom he worked every day.
Performers, generally, or also individual performers, are very often not curious enough. You know, they are serving you exactly the same repertoire forever, maybe well performed, very well presented. But I mean, I think you cannot live only on a certain number of works and just not go out to see what is going on in the present. Or you take refuge in the past. As I mean, the big thing about the Baroque sometimes is suspect to me from time to time, because they take refuge from our days. And they go and they try to discover the past like an exotic country. You know, you are dealing with the 18th century like you will deal with the Maori or with, you know, kind of populations you want to know more about because they are totally stranger to your civilization. And then, as I mean, there is something disturbing about that. I think, anyway, a culture which is so obsessed by its past is a culture which is dying. And I don't want my culture to die. I want this culture to be always inventive, create things, provocative, and that's life for me. And when you don't have life, you don't have any purpose to live anymore.
Well, let's differentiate two parts of your career, the interpretive side as a conductor, which of course you have worked with the great orchestras of the world. There's the other side, of course, the very important side, the composer, the creator. Is that like a split personality sometimes for you? Is it a different way of working, a different way of approaching various things?
That's a different activity, and you must really make the main problem is to have the balance between the two activities. Look, when I don't want to compare myself that, but I mean just compare the activity. If you look at the life of Mahler, he was, you know, conducting most of the time during the season, and then keeping his time during the summer to compose. Now that you have an activity all the year around, 12 months practically, with the summer festivals, with all this activity going on all the time, you cannot have this separation of summer and the rest of the season. So you have to calculate your time in another way. When you are a guest conductor only, that you have not to be worried about the business, let's say. And therefore, I mean, you can concentrate on artistic matters totally. Therefore, you know, since I had no more, since quite a long time now, since I had no more preoccupations with the life of orchestras or with the business of music generally, then, so I mean, I can concentrate on artistic matters, and therefore, you know, the conducting is much closer to my preoccupation as a composer. Because what I do sometimes, when I rehearse a work, I am always as a composer present, because I look at the score as a composer. Therefore, sometimes, you know, I'm accused to go too much in detail, to be too accurate, let's say, quote-unquote. And I think, if a composer has thought about a score and written very precisely this type of instruments, this dynamic, this rhythm, you know, I want to hear what I read, and not a kind of approximation only. So therefore, you know, the kind of interactivity in me between the conductor and the composer is very strong. I think a composer has always to have utopia on his mind, you know, just goals which are maybe still difficult to obtain, but, goals which are really far from the normal way of doing, also what one calls normal at this moment. And I think the more you know about the conducting and the life of an orchestra, a musical life of an orchestra, the more you are able to write very difficult things, because you know the limits and you know how to go beyond these limits, because these limits are clear to you. And you know that sometimes something is very difficult, but you will reach it. And that's quite different of something which is gauche, which is not really adapted.
Where do you get your inspiration then for your works? Does it come from musicians? I mean, obviously also poetry and texts have played an important role. The people you work with, the sounds, Messiaen, of course, your great teacher, was so inspired by birds and sounds of nature. What about Pierre Boulez?
Well, inspiration comes from everything, for the most abstract to the most down-to-earth. I will give you two examples in my life. There are some works where, for instance, I saw a kind of structure of time. I conceived how the work has to be developed, has to be expanded, on certain length of time. You know, very abstract concept, really. And then I had to find the tools first to do that, and also the material to do it. All right. Then, progressively, so I went from the abstract moment to the very realist moment. And then, for another works, for instance, I had in view the sound of some instruments. For instance, the sound of resonant instruments. And then, consequently, I could not develop only, normal rhythm, normal time, normal pulse, and so on. What I was in consideration first, that was how the instrument sounds, how long they sound, how short they die, for instance, and so on and so forth. So I had to conceive a form and a way of treating this instrument, not according to a pulse, but according to the data of the instrument themselves, to the acoustic properties of the instruments, and therefore I had to find the way of music, finding musical ideas which will satisfy this way of conceiving a work.
I like works that resist easy comprehension. Does that mean that you believe that most music should be an intellectual process or challenge, perhaps?
That's not intellectual. I would not say that intellectual. I would say that you discover really the feeling of the work progressively. And this kind of perception is sometimes longer to get at. I remember a sentence of Proust, which is very extraordinary. He said that certainly the works you assimilate the quickest way possible, are maybe the one who live the shortest life in your memory, because finally you absorb them very quickly and then they are not important. On the contrary, he say that the works where you had some difficulties to perceive, then as something that the one who gives you some problems that you must have time to solve. And therefore, that's the works which are maybe the most attractive, because that remains in your memory. The other one disappear from your memory, or are very vague in your memory because they are not really, they did not give you any difficulties to perceive. And I think that Proust was absolutely right. For me, a work where I have immediately understood everything, or the second time I have understood everything, if it is too foreseeable, I don't care very much, because, you know, I say, oh, well, I can deduce before having heard anything. And the contrary, on the contrary, things where you never can deduce anything, which are totally chaotic, then also mean you don't care very much either. And I claim for the music the right to have many levels of perception. Alban Berg is, you know, direct to your perception. The emotional aspect is very direct. But I mean, if you look at the score closely, then you see that's a real labyrinth. And if you want to organize yourself through this labyrinth, it is quite complex. But the emotional aspect, you know, brings you to that. And that's for me exactly what the balance should be, right? You have to have, you know, the kind of constructive aspect, and in the same time, you have to have the emotional aspect. If you have one without the other one, the work is weak, certainly.
Has this emotional aspect of music played a greater role in your life, or become more important to you in your work as the years go by? Have you sort of reflected on a lot of your younger ideals and perhaps changed?
I see. I think simply I have expanded my territory. Certainly, you know, when I was young, and as one says, generally young radical, what it means is there's something else. But I mean, you want to renovate the world, you know, and you don't very care much for the institutions, for anything, because you want your way. I've said once, you're outside like a dog outside of the house, and you bell because you want to enter the house. You are barking, to enter the house. Once you are in the house, you don't park anymore, but you renovate the house then. And I think that's what I have done. You know, I think that's to protest constantly against the institution, against the establishment, is not negative, but is sterile. And I don't like sterility at all. What I don't want to complain forever to life of music, musical life, which will not be to my ideal. But I think, what I have done, that's I entered the institutions and I tried to, you know, to bring some new elements in these institutions and to have some more direct communications between the music of our time and the audience of our time, simply that. And all my efforts were there, either when I was in New York or in London, or after that in Paris when I began with the Ensemble Intercontemporain, with IRCAM, everything was function of composition. And composition, contrary to what many people think, has never left my mind. You know, I was always busy with composition, not only busy for myself, for my own composition, but I was always also preoccupied with a way of having this communication between composition of today with audience of today. Therefore, all the things I have done, you know, for this purpose, and it took quite a lot of my time, unfortunately, but without having done it myself, it would never have taken place.
Réponse by Pierre Boulez, bringing us to the end of this week's Inspired Minds. But before I leave you today, just a reminder to check out the Inspired Minds homepage. The address is easy, www.inspiredminds.de. Thanks for joining us today. Next week's Inspired Mind is the author, Ian McEwan. But till then, this is Brendan O'Shea saying goodbye from DW Radio Cologne, Germany.